Well, this may sound a little self-serving, but I think we have really good preaching and teaching around here. Of course, I'm referring to Pastor Jeff. But seriously, when I have when I'm traveling and I have the opportunity to visit other churches, that is when I kind of reality check, like, wow, we really do have good teaching around here, good preaching around here. And so because we have such good teaching and preaching, I think it's easy to take it for granted. And so what I want to do this morning is not just remind us that we shouldn't take it for granted, but actually help you to know how to listen to a sermon. We often talk a lot about expository preaching. Yeah, we don't talk about expository sleeping, but we don't talk much about expository listening. Like, how do you be a good expository listener? And so that's what I want to explore today. How can you get the most out of a sermon? Now, to do this, I'm borrowing from a little book. There was a little book we used to have on the book table. We don't have any copies, but we could get some more. By Christopher Ash, called Listen Up, A Practical Guide for Listening to Sermons. And I'm going to give you that kind of the Cliff's Notes version, but I hope you will actually be interested enough to actually pick up the book. It's really thin, like 30 pages, and it's really practical and really helpful. And I'm not gonna like cover the whole book. There's more in the book that he doesn't talk about. So we're going to look at six practical ways for how to listen to sermons. And before I do that, I want to tell you that this is in no way a rebuke. Okay? This is not a public rebuke of you or me, because 75% of the time I'm in the pew is with you. So you actually are great sermon listeners. I see it. I know you are. This is just to stir you on a little more, to get even more out of the word. And so, as we begin, I want to ask, why a topic like this? It's a bit like, you know, a topic on how to watch TV. Has anyone had a class on how to watch TV? No one? No, it's easy, right? You sit down on the couch, you push the remote, and you try to stay awake. It's simple. You sit in the pew, and you try to stay awake. It's simple, right? Well, let me give you some maybe a biblical theological background for why I think it's necessary to talk about this. First of all, let's look at some passages. Look to me. Why don't you open with me to Luke chapter 8? Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to read verses 11 through 18. Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. Now, in the context, Jesus had given the parable of the sower, and now he gives the interpretation. Okay, so let's start reading in, we want to read starting in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14 of Luke 8. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. The point here is in verse 18, Jesus says we need to be careful how we listen. Now, obviously, we know in this passage there is a spiritual dynamic going involved in here with the heart. But interestingly, Jesus then turns it from this parable to say we need to be careful how we are listening. Mark 8:18, you can turn there fast or just listen. This is Jesus, and he has fed the 4,000. And that feeding of the 4,000 was making a spiritual point. Jesus was saying, I am the Lord, I am God. And in verse 18 of Mark 8, he says, after this great miracle, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? What's the point? The point is that we can have ears that don't hear. We can have eyes that don't see. So listening is important. Again, in Mark 4, verse 12, Jesus' disciples ask him why he speaks to them in parables. And look what he says in verse 12. He says, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. Listening is important. If I just sum up my point here, is that we all need to learn how to be listeners and grow in that discipline. Not just in preaching and teaching, but in interpersonal communication, right? So with these verses in the back of our minds, I want to give 6 practical suggestions for being a better sermon listener. And I think all of us can take at least one of these points and use it to help us in our sermon listening. Number one, or letter A on your handout, expect God to speak. When you come to a sermon or a teaching time, expect God to speak. When the word is preached accurately, God himself is speaking through the preacher. The older theologians used to say it like this, and there's an old confession that says the preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. This means that when an appointed man truly and accurately proclaims the Word of God, it carries the weight of the authority of God himself. In other words, to the extent the man's preaching is biblical, God is speaking. Let me show you this from the scriptures. Number one there in your handout. When Peter tells the Christians that they have been born again through the living and enduring Word of God, he explains it. He explains they're being born again through the word of God as this is the word that was preached to you. The word was preached and God himself spoke and changed their hearts. Number two there on your handout, Paul, he thanked God when the first Christians in Thessalonica heard the good news of Jesus in Acts 17. And he notes in 1 Thessalonians, what does he note about them? He says they accepted it, the preached word, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God. There were the words of the preacher, but interestingly, they acknowledge them as the very words of God. Peter says, number three on your handout, if anyone speaks, and the context here is Bible teaching in the church, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Okay, so let me summarize here. The point is that as you listen to a sermon, you should expect to hear God speak to you. You don't come to a sermon with an attitude of superiority or an attitude of suspicion. You come to the sermon with an attitude of trust that the pastors that you have called will preach the word faithfully, not perfectly, but faithfully with God's intended meaning. Yes, you should be Bereans to make sure what the pastor says is what the Bible says, but don't always be a critic. Criticizing the pastor. Expect God to speak. So you come trusting, but testing. You come trusting, but testing. Practical tips for expecting God to speak. Number one, look up next Sunday's Bible passage and note it and read it throughout the week. We often publish in our bulletin the next sermon passage. When we don't, some of you have texted me and you ask me, what are you preaching on? And I'm always encouraged by that because you want to know so you can read and be prepared. Number two, pray for the next Sunday's preaching during the week. Number three, pray often for yourself that God would speak to you from his word as it is preached. Number four, again, practical tips for expecting God to speak. Come to the sermon rested and ready to pay attention. Come to the sermon rested and ready to pay attention. My wife and I, we love movies. Many, many years ago, we got in this habit of we're not going to watch a movie on Saturday night. Now, that's not what I'm saying you have to do. I'm saying that's what we do so that we can be rested and ready to hear the preaching of the word. And number five, come expectantly. Lord, this is when you speak to me. I am ready to listen. It's coming with that attitude of trust and testing. Expect God to speak. Secondly, how can you be a better sermon listener? Number two, admit God knows better than you. Admit God knows better than you. The idea is to come humbly to the preaching. Be willing to change. Bend your heart to conformity to the preached word. We don't want to be like those that Paul writes about in 1 Timothy. What is it, or 2 Timothy? What does he say? I have it there on your handout. He says that though there are those who will not put up with sound or health-giving doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want them to hear. It's not coming with a humble attitude. Rather, we must recognize, number two, that the Bible penetrates to the heart. All the scriptures will call us to get rid of moral filth and the evil that is in us, that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word implanted. One of the reasons why we don't have altar calls at this church, the reason I've never liked an altar call, actually the true biblical altar call is the Lord's table. But I don't like the old-fashioned, you know, tent revival altar calls, is because it makes you think that the sermon only spoke to some. Like, if God spoke to your heart, come forward. In reality, every sermon God is using in your life, and he's using to speak to you, and there's always something that we can gather from the sermon that we need to change. So we ought to admit that God knows better, that he is speaking to me through the preacher. Practical tips. How can you be more humble? Pray. Number two, pray. Number three, pray for the work of God's Spirit to enable you to submit to what the Bible clearly says and to give you grace to change. And once you see areas of change, number three, how can you be a better sermon listener? Do what the Bible says today. See, the purpose of the sermon is to conform us into the image of Christ. It's to change today. Preaching is an event. God is changing us during the preaching. It's not something we delay on. James, as you know, says to be doers of the word and not hearers only who delude themselves. And be doers of the word today. Hebrews 3:7-8. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me in the day of trial in the wilderness. Today, do what God says today. I was recently talking to a missionary friend, and he was telling me that, and I was relating to him that in the majority world, the majority world being where the majority of people live below poverty, in the majority world, places like Africa and Asia, parts of Asia, in that world, the pastors there, they have very little education, very little theological education. And he was telling me, you know, Dan, we know, the average American knows so much more than the average pastor in the majority world. And it is so true. And yet, he said, yet the irony is that those pastors, with their humble little knowledge, they're better at practicing the word than we are here. It's like, yeah, that's so true. So, so true. We need to be reminded constantly to be doers of the word. So how can we do this? Practical tips. Number one, write down as definitively and precisely as you can some action you need to take to obey the passage that was preached. It may be a change of attitude, an alteration in the way you speak, some action you need to stop doing, some action you need to start doing. Whatever it is, write it down, and then in a week's time, a month's time, look back and see if it made a difference in your life. Keep a preaching journal. Anyone have a preaching journal? You have journals, right? Keep a preaching journal of sorts where you can see, this is what the Lord showed me and this is what I need to change by his Spirit. Number two, enjoy preaching not as entertainment, but as God's regular, gracious invitation to walk with him, rejoicing in a clear conscience. So, expect God to speak. Admit God knows better than you. Do what the Bible says today. Number four, letter D. How can you be a better sermon listener? Check that the preacher says what the passage says. Check that the preacher says what the passage says. That is, listen actively to a sermon, not passively. Do what it takes to pay attention. Follow along in the scripture. Be like those, we call them the Bereans, who receive the message with great eagerness and examine the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So again, as I said in the beginning, we come with an attitude not of superiority, not of suspicion, but of trust. But this does not mean that we sort of check our brains at the door. The Bereans check the preacher, but also notice they receive the word with eagerness. You see the balance? They check the preacher, but they receive the word with eagerness. Practical tips. Number one, read the passage or listen carefully when it is read. Number two, here are some questions that you can ask. And these are really just good general hermeneutical questions, Bible interpretation questions that you can use if you have the passage and you're getting ready for that Sunday, that upcoming Sunday. You know that I'm going to preach on 1 Corinthians 11. So you look at that and you go through these questions. So let me walk through these. Letter A, what do you think is the main point of the passage? This may be signaled by repetition of something important, or by being in the punchline, for example, of a parable, or by being the theme that runs throughout the passage. Is the main thrust of the sermon the same as the main point of the passage? Secondly, are there any surprises in the passage? That is, things the Bible says that we wouldn't expect it to say, or that it says in ways we wouldn't expect them to say them. Letter C, number three, who was the passage originally spoken to? Are we in the same situation as them? In particular, if they were before Christ, we need to be careful what parallels we draw. We can't simply apply it straight to ourselves. After all, it was written to us. It wasn't written to us. It was written for us, for our benefit, but not directly to us. Letter D, why do you think the Bible writer wrote this passage? That's a great question. Why did he write this passage? Why did he insert this verse here at this point? What is the passage intended to achieve? This is something I ask myself when I'm preparing for a sermon. Why here? Why here at this point? Number three, pray as Martin Luther used to pray, Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me. So how to be a better sermon listener? Let's repeat it together. Expect God to listen, right? Expect God to speak. You're listening. Someone's listening. Expect God to speak. Secondly? Number three?
Do what the Bible says today.
Number four?
Check that the preacher says what the passage says.
And number five, letter E. You guys are all repeating these, but they're right here in your notes. I don't know why I'm having you do this, but it's a good teaching thing, right? All right, number five, hear the sermon in church. Hear the sermon in church. God's plan, I write here, is not only to shape individuals, but a collection of people in a local assembly. When we hear a sermon, we are accountable to one another. In a real sense, then, preaching involves a real person and real people. I think we forget that. You know, someone said to me today they really appreciated us gathering around in a circle because it really pictured the reality. But the other reality is when the sermon is being preached, we're being shaped as a people, as a church. Now, this doesn't mean you can't listen to MP3s. It's not what I'm saying, but there is really no substitute for a sermon in a church. There is no substitute. Listening, number two, to a sermon in a church not only shapes a group of people, but it allows them to discuss the sermon, and we do that here. We do that in our grace groups. It's a perfect way to discuss the sermon. Practical tips we're going to leave for the next one. It combines with the next one. So number six, letter F, finally, hear the sermon week by week. How do you become a better sermon listener? Hear the sermon week by week. You know, when preaching, when you hear preaching, sometimes the passage is not going to impact you. that much. Sometimes you're going to get those sermons that just, whoa, they floor you. Wow, I didn't see that before. And it's always interesting as someone who preaches, the comments that I receive, sometimes the comments that you make have nothing to do with a sermon. But that's a good thing. Because that's the Holy Spirit showing you what I couldn't show you. It would take me a lifetime to show you what you really need to see, that the Holy Spirit does. But the thing of it is when we hear the sermon week by week, it's a cumulative effect. And we know this because the nature of our sanctification, right? The Bible doesn't promise us a quick fix. We want a quick fix. But that's not the nature of how the Christian life works. It's a steady process of growth. And so when you hear a sermon week by week, you are growing. You are growing. If we only come to a sermon once a month, that's going to have an impact on us. We need to hear it week by week. So practical tips. Number one, keep count for 6 months or a year of how many times you do not hear a sermon, of how many times you're absent or how many times you're there. Make a note of the reasons why. And number two, if you find you're away more than you realize and more than you ought to be, take some practical diary of action to make sure you're here more regularly. So maybe like something I thought of, just an example, come back from vacation on a Saturday night instead of a Sunday night. Now, please, I'm not saying if you come back on a Sunday night, I'm just saying it's a practical application of how you can listen to the sermon week by week. Let me conclude here. In Ash's book, you know, he gives this practical guidance on how to be a good sermon listener. You know what he also gives, which I'm not going to cover today? He also gives you how to listen to a bad sermon. What do you do then? Well, you have to get the book and find out.
Why would we need that? Yeah.
Well, of course not here, right, Tim? Yeah. Just when you're traveling, right? Well, I hope that you can take one of these points, one of these six ways to be a better sermon listener, and implement them in your life, even if it's a change of perspective on maybe how you see the preaching of God's word. Okay? Let me pray, and then we'll have 15 minutes to just talk, right? And then we'll have to get our kids. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the preachers in our lives who preach your word to us so that we can grow. Lord, make us more and more and more, as we already are, Lord, at this church, but make us more and more better listeners to hear your voice, to practice what you say, to be here week by week, to hear your word in this church as often as we gather. Thank you, Lord, for the preachers, pastors in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.